Hello and welcome to PCB Chat. I'm Mike Buto, Editor-in-Chief of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. Today's podcast is sponsored by PCB East, the East Coast Conference and Exhibition for the circuit board design and engineering audience. Coming next May to the Boston suburbs, visit PCBEast.com for details. My guest today is Manny Marcano. Manny's the president and founder of EMA Design Automation. As many listeners know, EMA is the exclusive distributor of Cadence OrCAD products in North America. EMA has also developed a series of its own software products for library management, component supply chain data, and it conducts training on behalf of its own lines and those of its partners. Welcome back to PCB Chat, Manny.
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm very glad to be with you.
Manny is joining me today in the wake of the big news of the week, which is that EMA Design Automation has a deal in place with Trilogic EDA. This is important because Trilogic has been the top North American VAR partner for Mentor's PAD tools for several years, and we're going to find out a bit more about what this means for the PCB CAD marketplace.
There's a lot to unpack here, so let's start by breaking down the news. EMA has added, I think is the term that you used, the staff of Trilogic. I know that Mentor has been shaking up its sales channel for some time now, but if we focus just on what you are doing, EMA has, from my point of view, just potentially gained access to many, many new customers by the virtue of the relationships that the Trilogic sales teams have formed over the years. So let's begin with that. Can you explain for our listeners what exactly this means for Trilogic's customers?
Well, what's important to EMA and more importantly, our mutual customers is the continuance of support pre and post sales to make sure that what they're interested in, we're solving their problems and solving their pain. And that's number one in my book is customer relationships. And in, at the end of the day, this is all about the goodwill that Trilogic has developed over the last 30 plus years. And that's primarily what my investment's all about.
I know that you've known Brad Paul and competed with Trilogic for many years. How did the deal come about?
Well, it's a very good question. So the deal came about because of the circumstances Brad found himself at the end of September. He had a team of extremely competent and loyal employees that essentially had nothing to sell. And I have a void in my sales team and my growth aspirations. But fundamentally, Brad and I do go back 30 plus years. He was actually my mentor back when I started EMA in upstate New York, which was a 2% or 3% TAM. And I would look up to Brad and learn how to run a business and how to treat people and how to treat vendors, how to manage your vendors, so to speak. And I learned a lot from Brad. I have a tremendous respect for him. And what, besides the customer base and goodwill, what really mattered to Brad was his employees and their dedication to him. He was concerned about their transition, especially in today's environment. So we just came up with a very agreeable transition where they simply become EMA employees. And they're selling the same technology in the marketplace with just a different line card is really what it amounts to.
How many Trilogic staff will EMA be adding?
We added the entire Trilogic EDA team, which was 11 people.
Jeez. And Brad is not part of the switch, correct?
That's correct. Brad has to continue on with Trilogic Incorporated. He's got business to take care of, and you know he can go in any direction he likes. There's no encumbrances on him as far as what he does. What matters to him is his people. I've already seen where Brad is helping them transition to EMA and how we do things. So 11 people, that's almost a 10% growth in manpower overnight. So it's kind of an interesting transition for us as well.
And what territory will they cover?
Well, we haven't determined that yet. So certain individuals have their tribal knowledge of their geography, but there's some folks that we may redeploy because of expertise in a particular technology. The AEs are stellar, and we couldn't be happier having these competent gentlemen on staff, and they're already helping my team nationwide. So there's no firm fixed plan. As usual, I operate under ready, fire, aim, and that's what we're doing. So as these folks step up and do more, they can create their own opportunity here.
Do you assign your sales staff to key accounts, or does it tend to be more geographical based, in which case you may have a particular end customer that has three different, I'll say, sales staff or support staff, depending on, you know, where the different facilities lie?
This is another evolution of EMA. There's traditional ways of doing things, and there's ways to do things that meet market demands, and that's where we're at right now, because I can't deploy field salespeople anywhere. We're focused on what's the best model, and maybe one person takes 10 or 15 key accounts geographically around the world and drives that business. Or we go back to the geographic model, the territory model, where it's an inside sales and a field salesperson trying to drive a bigger opportunity based on the needs of the customer. So I don't have a firm plan.
I think there was Oasis and EDA Direct also selling pads in the western half of the U.S. And I say was because they are no longer channel partners for pads. Have you had any discussions with those VARs?
Absolutely. So I was very fortunate a year ago to be able to hire three people from EDA Direct. Sanjay was a perfect gentleman in the transition because he had no PCB tools to offer these folks. So it was, you know, it was, again, a relief for him and a relief for these young people that came into EMA because they're technically competent and they're ready to rock and roll with the Cadence design methodology flow. So it's mutually beneficial.
Now, the other major EDA players have either been shedding their resellers and reps in North America, at least, or they didn't have them to begin with. This is becoming a situation where there is a lack of what I'd call feet on the street, which is people who can actually help companies get up and running on their tools. In my opinion, that's going to hurt some developers when it comes time for tool evaluations. You know, engineers are smart, of course, but I'm not sure how much time they want to spend learning the tools on their own. That's not a value-added activity, and the customers typically don't pay for their supplier's learning curve. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think about that quite often. We deal with a quite diverse demographic. We've got a lot of senior folks that have been doing this a long time, but there's a lot more younger engineer, you know, I call it the 35-year-old design engineer that has higher expectations in content, for example, and they don't necessarily want to generate their own symbols, footprints, and step models. And this is the reason we acquired Accelerated Designs a few years ago, so that we could offer content on a right out of the gate. And this is, it's proven to be a good strategy. But the other challenge that we have is, again, the most engineers are doing the job of three or four people. They don't have time to go shopping. They don't have time to have a salesman or multiple salespeople come in and give pitches and demos and all that. They fundamentally Google schematic capture. They see what's available, and if it checks all the boxes, 9 times out of 10, they'll buy it. The challenge is getting their attention at that point in their discovery phase and being able to show them our tools or show them our technology. So what we've invested very heavily on is content in the sense of educating the end user. So we invest a lot in material and white papers so that we can disseminate information branded under EMA, but it's relevant and not tool agnostic, but we're educating the marketplace. And I firmly believe the more we educate, the more customers will realize we have a value add in the sense of these folks know what the heck they're talking about. Maybe I'll actually talk to them. And that's at the point where we can nurture the relationship before we talk to them and then engage once they're ready and they have a real problem that we can help them solve. So it's a different approach than several years ago where it's following up on leads or cold calling and try and derive and create opportunity. We're essentially seeding the market and growing our own opportunities as we go along.
The EDA marketplace is going through a bit of a shakeout, and the major vendors are somewhat quietly revamping their focus. I'm not pointing any fingers, but it feels like the small and medium-sized customers could be in the position of being left behind by some of the larger vendors. Do you get that sense? And if so, what is EMA doing to balance that out?
Well, we absolutely sense the mainstream market is not getting the attention it needs, and that's a void I fully intend on filling.
Now, I understand why the vendors prefer to sell seats for $50,000 or $60,000, but I think that with the nature of where the bulk of the board designs are, most designers can do what they need to do with the mainstream tool, you know, especially in the age of IoT, where many of the designs are tight and dense, but with lower layer counts. As long as the tool can handle the use of MCMs and SIP and maybe some stacked ICs, it should be capable of handling most of the concepts thrown at it. Would you agree?
Well, there's no doubt the tools can, I wouldn't say they're a total commodity. And the tactic that we take is not so much tool-driven. And we've got great technology from Cadence, don't get me wrong. But what really matters in the marketplace is the data management flow from specifying the correct part at the conceptual design phase, such as what we do with ORCAD and CIP compliance, where an engineer can actually, inside of ORCAD, look at a silicon expert database and say, that part has the life expectancy I need. That's the part I'm using. And that essentially mitigates risk downstream of having to do an ECO. So the more risk aversion we can create at the schematic level, the higher the probability of success. And it's all about time to market. So it's not necessarily the technology. It's how do we get from conceptual design phase to release to manufacturing with the least amount of pain and agony, and you meet your market window. So a lot of our discussions are more with a director of marketing or a director of engineering. And oh, by the way, we've got these great tools, but here's the vision that we can offer you, install and make work so that you do meet your market demand requirements. So we just take the conversation to a different level.
So to recap, EMA has brought on 11 former Trilogic EDA salespersons who have been selling Mentor tools to the PCB market for several years. Manny, has the deal been consummated? And if so, what's the next step?
The ink is dry. The team, Brad's team, is fully engaged. And I give him tremendous credit, as well as the individuals. They are passionate about joining EMA and making a material impact on our business for their own sake, as well as the customers they've been servicing for literally decades. The next step is just to get everybody on the same page and get the team booking business as we should and taking care of our customers.
Well, if nothing else, I'm sure they saw Cadence's numbers this last quarter, where I think they were up 40% year over year in PCB alone. That's got to get people excited.
Absolutely. And to their credit, they had a pretty good year as well, with some diversity in their product line. So their customer base and their territory is alive and well. So despite the chaos in the country, the business is there. And I just am obsessed about continuing to grow EMA based on these opportunities.
Anything else about the transaction that you want to share with our listeners?
I just would like everybody to know that this is not a traditional merger acquisition or whatever you want to call it. This is literally two friends, Brad and I, coming up with a solution that's mutually beneficial for our customers and our employees. This will make EMA stronger. It gives his team a viable work alternative and they can stay in the industry. But it really was an agreement of two friends that were just concerned about their staff.
Well, congratulations, Manny. And I really do think that the mainstream market is going to benefit from this. You know, there was the potential of a gap, I think, that was starting to appear. And I think that this helps to close that gap.
Well, I appreciate that.
That wraps this edition of PCB Chat. I want to thank my guest, Manny Marcano, the president and founder of EMA Design Automation. And I'd like to thank our sponsor today, PCB East, the East Coast trade show for the circuit board engineering market, coming May 2021 to the Boston suburbs. Visit pcbeast.com for details. For PCB Chat, this is Mike Buto. Have a nice day.